right, so we welcome you into Alabama tradition, the past, present, and future of the Alabama Crimson Tide as we count down the start of college football. So many different things to discuss. Martin Houston is going to be with me in just a couple of seconds. We're going to welcome him in to the conversation. There's so many different things. We're counting down the days until Alabama goes out on that football field against Miami, 39 days away. And then we're about 10 days away from the opening of fall camp here in Tuscaloosa, and we'll get to that coming up here in just a couple of seconds. Martin Houston, national champion winning fullback at the University of Alabama. Hey, Martin, I hope all is well. Welcome into the game in T-Town.
Welcome into the game.
I don't know what. It's such a habit, man. I don't.
I do it all the time, man. No.
So I got 59 minutes to rebound myself until then.
Yes,
so.
Yes, absolutely. No, man, it's good to be in. You know, if any of my normal morning listeners are tuned in, they haven't heard me this week. And, you know, you have to think, Ryan, how long have you known me?
Quite a while, right? Yeah, quite a while, yeah.
How many times have you known me to go out of town, take vacation, and get away for a minute?
I just told Kendall had walked around the glass and We were actually, you know, Kendall's last day is later this week, and I said, well, we're going to have to go to Dreamland. And I said, Martin's going to the beach. I don't know if he's going down there for business or vacation. I mean, are you really going to the beach for vacation?
I'm trying to vacation, man.
Really? Yeah. I'm impressed.
It only took me 5-6 years to get there, but no, man, I'm glad to spend a little time this afternoon and especially with everything happening in the college football world.
Well, it's crazy when you look at the way that everything has unfolded. We've been talking a lot today about Texas and Oklahoma and the fit, and we've even called it the biggest loser, biggest winner when you look at it. It's easy to talk about Texas A&M, you know, being the biggest loser in this, and you could see by some of their reaction that they're not very happy that Texas is coming in to the SEC.
I don't know if they're the biggest loser, though, man. I think it may be LSU.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I hadn't put a lot of thought behind it, but from a recruiting standpoint, LSU is going to – those kids they were pulling from Texas are not going to come now, maybe. And Alabama could be a big loser as well, both on the football side and the student side. Suppose we have about 10,000 students coming from Texas. But, Ryan, think about it. What happened to Texas A&M immediately on the recruiting front when they were able to put that SEC brand behind their name? And, you know, Texas A&M, like you said, is an easy one, but it'd be interesting to see because LSU has, per capita, one of the biggest or strongest recruiting basis, but they don't have a lot of players per se. When you think about how many kids they pull from Texas and other places, so they could be a potential loser. But the other guys, I think, is the have-nots, Ryan, based on how they realign, could be the losers. If they realign and put Alabama and Auburn in the East, who's the biggest loser then? You know, is it Georgia? Is it Florida? Poor Tennessee, they become at best number five. You know what I mean? So I guess it's really based on what all happens and how it all shakes out.
Well, and then when you take a look at Alabama, I'm not saying that by no means, but we're not the biggest. But I do think that it'll be more challenges for Alabama, because I've often said it's not going to be one program that will take down the dynasty in Tuscaloosa. It's everybody swinging the axe and chopping down the tree. And it's not one swing. It'll be a lot of different swings. You add Texas and Oklahoma, that'll be another challenge that Alabama will have to go. And really, that's the goal of all that's happening in college football, is to introduce more parity into the game, and this is probably no different.
Yeah, you know, speaking of Alabama, Ryan, and you say that about swinging the axe. I don't know if you've ever seen any of the lumberjack competitions where they do the team. the team chop.
Sure.
Where one swings, and when that one's bringing his back, the other one swinging, and it's just a constant motion. You know, it takes half the time. Actually, it's less than half the time because the guy doesn't get as tired. And that's kind of the thing when you start thinking about Alabama now is going to have Oklahoma be able to say, hey, you can play in the SEC. Texas be able to play, say you can play in the SEC. And with name, image, and likeness, you know, Sark can sell on Texas and the big money alumni. But he also can sell on, hey, I went there and I learned the process. I know the process. And you know, so it's so many, not just the number of people chopping, Ryan, it's the way they can chop. Now, look at the SEC. Have you really thought about the SEC and how many people have a connection to Saban? I mean,
from a head coaching standpoint.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty much his league now, and it's only one. Well, he has one loss amongst the current. You know, and that's what, is he 16 now?
Yeah, Coach O is the only one.
Yeah. So I have 15 coaches, but they're all selling that we now know the process. Or, you know, it's going to be an interesting time. But I think I'm a shock, Ryan, that we didn't get here sooner. I think it's the precursor to super conferences. I thought that's where we were going to go when we saw the four-team playoff. I thought that was, to me, that was writing on the wall that we're going to have four major conferences. Because to me, it never made sense to have four opportunities to play, but you have five conferences. So one conference champion, no matter how good they were going to be left out every year anyway. And so to me, you're already saying that, you know, that we're okay with having just four representatives. And of course, now with the 12th team, I don't know if that's the case or not, but that's what I thought when I saw the four teams.
Well, and you know, Martin, when you think about the other losers, when you look at Texas and Oklahoma, regardless of where they fit in this SEC, let's say that you just plug them in the middle of the standings, and you just plug them in, and you say, okay, they're here in the SEC. Those teams that are, like, trying to be relevant, like an Ole Miss, well, they're not going to finish ahead of Texas and Oklahoma, and I'm talking about long-term. So it's right. Like they take another step down. It's like they trend down. So if I was a fan of those programs, I would be very jealous because Texas and Oklahoma, and it will strictly be about attention that they will get. Texas gets all the attention now, and they've really been irrelevant for quite a while.
Well, Ryan, but do we see the Big 12 make a bold move and try to pull Arkansas on the fact that, hey, your conference just sold you out. Ole Miss, they just sold you out. Hey, you guys would be perfect in the Big 12. Do we see some – if Texas and Oklahoma can leave – you know, and we can say what we want. The reality of it is they may not leave for the money, but if they can go out to – where would Ole Miss and Arkansas immediately be with the remaining Big 12 teams?
Probably
top four or five.
I mean, higher. Well, I mean, think about this. If you remove Texas and Oklahoma, all right,
right,
and you got to put Arkansas, and this would be the remaining league: Iowa State, Oklahoma State, TCU, West Virginia, Kansas State, Texas Tech, Baylor, and Kansas. Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, you may take some of those middle tier teams in the SEC. And they might win the whole darn thing.
Right. I mean, Kiffin with Ole Miss all of a sudden is Baylor or TCU or Oklahoma. He's Gundy. He's as good or better than any coach in that league. And, you know, he's been recruiting SEC talent, so he knows what type of talent it takes. Look what he did against Alabama last year. He just didn't have the numbers to sustain it throughout the year. Yeah, so I don't be surprised. I mean, they're either going to have to fight for their life, or they're going to, or Oklahoma State and TCU right now has already called the Pac-12. You know, so they're going to have to try to make some bold moves to survive. And so I would say the Big 12 is probably the biggest loser of this whole thing at this point, unless they're able to find someone else to come in.
Well, it's going to be a big topic of conversation when we look at it. I've got some audio that I want to play from David Shaw out in the Pac-12, and we'll do that. That's Martin Houston. I'm Ryan Fowler. This is Alabama Tradition, the past, present, and future of the Alabama Crimson Tide.
You are listening to Alabama Tradition with Martin Houston and Ryan Fowler. Your connection to Tuscaloosa and the University of Alabama Athletics on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Tan toe tickling the sand, cold drink chilling in my right hand, watching you sleep in the evening light, resting up for a long, long night. 'Cause when the sun goes down, we'll be grooving when the sun
goes down. So we welcome you back into Alabama Tradition, the past, present, and future of the Alabama Crimson Tide. And I want to go into this conversation here with David Shaw. Let's go to the Pac-12 Media Days. It's happening. And I'm going to share two comments coming out of there. But this was the David Shaw. And he was asked about it. Well, I will just play the audio from David Shaw talking about name, image, and likeness. And then we'll react to it here with David Shaw, the Stanford head coach.
A recent event was quoted as saying that his quarterback, Bryce Young, is near seven figures in NIL deals. Just what's your gut reaction when you hear those kind of numbers?
My gut reaction is on multiple levels. First of all, Nick Saban is smarter than any 10 of us in this room combined. And so there's no way that wasn't just a throw-in. It is obvious to me. Nick wanted to plant that and make sure people knew that. It's a great way to recruit people to come to you, which the guy hasn't started a college football game, and he's already signed a whole bunch of deals to make money. To me, I don't think that's what this whole thing is supposed to be about. I don't believe that that is true market value. I think that's Alabama value, but that's not market value for an individual, which was what this is supposed to be about. I'm not saying it's wrong. In my mind, when I look at this, it is a combination of your personality, who you are, and what you've accomplished in order to create opportunities for yourself. That to me is kind of putting the cart before the horse, and it's all legal. It's fine now. Nick mentioning that at the media day is a great way to kickstart your recruiting, especially if you're recruiting another high caliber quarterback, as we all know that they are. It wasn't accidental. Many of us around college football just kind of shrugged our shoulders and said, is this really what we want to be doing? I wonder about the people who are engaging in high value deals like that. I know a lot of business people, and I wonder what their return is on that investment. That's a major investment. That's a high dollar value investment. What are they getting back from that? Because over time, that's not a wise thing to do business wise, is to give a college athlete a whole bunch of money if you're not getting anything in return. As many people like kind of chuckled when I saw that, there will be very few people around the country that have those opportunities. And I wonder too, after this era right now, this year where these things happen, if people will continue to do that going forward. Because I still wonder, what do you get back from giving a student athlete a whole bunch of money? Does that help your business? If it does, great. But if that's not a great business model for you, then how is that sustainable? That's part of what we all knew was going to happen. There are going to be a few of those stories over this year. My guess is there will be fewer of those stories in the following year. There will be more, in particular, those juniors and seniors that are established, that have a chance to go on and do something beyond college football, those to me are the ones that will have those deals, not guys that haven't started a game yet.
Martin, I'd love for you to react, because I know this is a very, I won't say soapbox, but I mean it's something that you're very passionate about. David Shaw, Stanford head coach, what do you think?
Well, a couple of things there. First of all, for him to say it's not true value, it's Alabama value, well, isn't that why kids choose Stanford for academics? Is the kid at Stanford necessarily smarter than someone else at another school? Maybe, maybe not. But the fact that they have Stanford on their paper gets them in more doors, right?
Sure.
And so schools invest in them to get them to come. And so, you know, so that's my first thing is, of course, it's Alabama value. And Nick talked about that script A at the event I went to, where he talked about that A is iconic. And it's the, you know, number one brand in college, on college campuses, a million more followers than anyone else. So yes, Coach Saban understands it. I do like the fact that he recognizes that this is where we're at. Sounded like there may be a little bit of animosity there in terms of that Nick, as he said it, and I like the fact that he recognizes Coach Saban doesn't do anything by the he absolutely dropped that bomb on purpose. But I say this carefully, but I heard that socialism again in this. It's none of your business whether that model works. I mean, don't be a hater. If someone is giving him a $1 million deal or multiple people, then hopefully they're smart enough to know whether or not it's good or not. Right, Ryan? And you and I know for a fact that there's been people giving players money at all levels, at all schools for years, right? With no return. Do you understand that some of these people have so much money, Ryan, that their return is the fact that they're going to get to shake hands and hobnob and sit down and talk with and take a picture with and show their friends that they know Bryce Young? And for him to say it's just going to be the juniors and seniors, he doesn't understand how this works. Actually, it's going to be the hotshot young guys that they get 3 years at Alabama, and then they position themselves to be the one that that player signs with, re-signs with when they go on, because the deals can't go beyond their college years. But who are you going to sign with, the guy that's been with you for 3 years or some new guy that comes in? So I think he may be a little off on just the juniors and the seniors. I think you're going to see incoming guys or even high school guys getting deals as well when you have those superstars.
Well, Martin, when you think about, you know, David Shaw, and you think about, to me, he's countering his own recruiting pitch. It said, hey, you know, don't come here because that may not be our value. That's Alabama value. In other words, he's talking on a national stage, and he's almost persuading people, hey, go look at that Alabama brand. I mean, we are no doubt in his head. And I thought he said, when you look at college coaches, he said, you know, most of us shrugged our shoulders at that deal. That's all about recruiting. And I'm thinking, yeah, you may have shrugged your shoulders, but you either embrace it or you'll get left behind in this name, image, and likeness.
Totally. And his coach, what does Coach Saban call them? Dinosaurs. And he said, you don't see dinosaurs on the way to work in the morning. And you won't see dinosaurs on the sidelines of college school. Some will not be able to make this adjustment, Ryan. I am predicting that you're going to see college programs begin to get some of these high-profile NFL coaches that are getting turned down potentially for NFL jobs. Think about Jeremy Pruitt now, Ryan. He's getting experience where?
NFL.
Does Jeremy Pruitt become a hotter commodity after a stint with the Giants than he would have been if he had stayed at a struggling Tennessee? Does he get the fact that he's connected with Nick Saban. He took over a laughable Tennessee program, so it really doesn't hurt him per se. And then he went to the NFL, and now he's learned how to deal with players who are getting paid and all of this and managing all those personalities. That's what he's learning right now. So he may be even more valuable to a college program now than he would have been if he had had decent success at Tennessee. So I think you're going to see guys like that or some of these guys that don't get the jobs when they're interviewing end up back, because Nick Saban talked about managing, and a specific example he used was Aaron Rodgers. He said Aaron Rodgers makes $25 million. The guard makes $1 million. Aaron Rodgers gets millions of endorsements. The guard gets no endorsements. But they have to figure out how to play on the team. And I've had experience managing that, and I've told my players to go out and get agents to help them and help them make this landscape. And it's here, and it's not going away. So we might as well make the most of it and learn how to adapt to the new era we're in college football, because it's not going away. And if anything, we're going to see players being paid in the near future. And that's not me saying that. That was what he said.
Doesn't that separate the haves and the have-nots? Because I don't know if these other programs that we talk about sometimes, the middle of the road, I don't know if they can keep up.
Well, I mean, Brian, if you know what we were talking earlier, yes, it does, to answer your question. Yes, I think it's going to separate the haves and the have-nots. But here's the question. Who are the have-nots now? Okay? Oklahoma State now has access to as much money as anybody. You know who else does in the SEC? Arkansas. Will the Walden family get behind Arkansas football now, and maybe they convince them to make the move back to the Big 12, one of the original, you know, Southwest Conference teams? Maybe they say, hey, we'll come in and we'll support you. We'll support your players. I mean, there's so many variables out there right now that we don't even know are going to come into play. And the have-nots, Ryan, I do not believe will be just based on the conferences anymore and on where you're at. It's going to be which alumni and boosters that they can partner with, and which coaches embrace this and don't fight it, and which universities embrace it and don't fight it. And what you're going to see is some partnerships between those universities, those boosters, and you're going to see, I think you're going to see a few players, few of the maybe old school teams all of a sudden start making some noise, because they're going to use it to recruit.
Like old school being some of these teams that just...
Like Arkansas, who's been around forever. I mean, they just can't get traction in the SEC, right? But can they get traction all of a sudden, Ryan, if they're able to offer kids from Oklahoma and from Texas and from Alabama and other places, you don't have to just come to Arkansas to play football now. You can come to Arkansas, and we got a name, image, and likeness with the richest family, one of the richest families in the country. Now all of a sudden that five-star that would not have even considered playing football at Arkansas realized, I can go to Arkansas and play and make $3, $4 million on my way to the NFL while I'm in college because of the Walden family. That's what I meant by like an old school program. It won't just be, you know, the ones that are good right now. You're going to see some of those that have been hanging around. But then you're going to have the Oregons of the world that have access to Nike, and Maryland, who has access to Under Armour. There's a lot of Nikes and Under Armour people out there that right now have been behind the scenes, and we don't know, but they love their college football and their colleges, and they're going to step up to help them become relevant because they got money to waste.
Very big possibility. We're an Oregon player. I believe it was Thibodeau earlier today talked about getting a phone call from Phil Knight. And you're right. I mean, and the landscape of college football, I just don't know where it'll be. I'm not saying I'm against it. I'm just saying I don't know where it will be 5 years from now. I mean, whether we're talking about – go ahead. I'm sorry.
Hey, no, listen to this. Think about what's one of the most iconic plays in Alabama history?
Goal line stand, second and 26.
Oh, stop at second and 26. What year was those two kids that made that play?
Tua and Devontae Smith.
Yeah, what year were they when they made that play?
True freshman.
How many years could they have made money off of that one?
Oh.
See, nobody's talking about that. Daniel Moore had Tua and Devontae Smith could commission second and 26 themselves now. So now you tell a kid, hey, you come to Arkansas and you're a playmaker, you can create your own money by creating the plays through the plays you make on the field and then commissioning that into artwork. Nobody's talking about – I mean, those are things that have nothing to do with a booster, with alumni. How much money would Tua and Devontae have made off of second and 26?
And you almost wonder if it would change – like, okay, because if you gave them some money, I'm not saying that Tua passes up being a number fifth overall pick, but in other scenarios, let's say that you're a border between a first and a second round, but you're able to put some money in your pocket, are you as quick to leave if you know that you've got some security here?
There's four or five guys that Nick Saban has tried to talk into that would have played another year at Alabama. Easy. No one's talking about. I think that you're going to see those types of guys staying for another year, Ryan, because when all of a sudden you go, hey, listen, this is what you've done in Alabama. You can commission this. You've made this kind of money. This is what you're going to, if you come back for another year, this is what you'll make. Because how many guys have left because mom and dad were in a financial strait and they just couldn't make it one more year, Ryan? We've talked about those kids on the radio that have said, I'm having to leave, not because I'm ready to go, but I got to take care of my family. Whether mistake, intentional, whatever, I have a baby, I have a wife, or I have a daughter, or my parents are struggling. Well, guess what? Right, I figured up just goofing off, not even, just, I probably could have made $250,000 speaking, easy, while I was here.
Right.
Okay. Would have had a professional speaking business established by the time I left, and probably more than that. If because there was things I didn't do and couldn't do because I just didn't. I mean, you got gas money, but all of a sudden, if you're intentional about it and you're trying to get more speaking engagements, you could be somewhere every weekend. Yeah, I mean, it's just 52 times a year you could go somewhere and speak if you wanted to on a Sunday and, make $1,000. That's $52,000. You multiply that times, 4 years, 5 years, all of a sudden you're looking at $250,000. And that's if you just charge $1,000, in which you would be in more demand the more you spoke, and the more demand, the more you speak, the more you charge. I mean, I know people making $25,000 a speaking engagement. So it's a good time to be a player.
But think about, just the landscape of college football with all this. Because 2 years in, we're going to know a lot more about name, image, and likeness. We're going to know a lot more about expansion of playoffs. We're going to see conference realignment. 5 years from now, we may or may not be able to recognize this great sport that we love so much. And I'm not saying bad. I'm just saying that it's going to be different when you look at the world of college football.
Yeah, how do we get here, Ryan, thinking that when the name, image, and likeness bomb dropped, that would be probably the biggest single change we've seen. And then within 2 weeks of that or 3 weeks of that, two of the cornerstone programs of one of the Big Five conferences are walking away, and then you have Coach Saban saying that paying players is just around the corner. We have no idea what is going to change. And it may very well look and feel different, Ryan. It very well may be a semi-pro version or something of what we love, and kids may be in school or they may just represent a school. It may be D-League, G-League, whatever we want to call it, but it very well may be different. The question is, will they make enough money, Ryan, to prevent them from being hungry enough to want to be to the pros? Because I think that's the magic of college football. Like in basketball, you get to play your games, and if you don't, you get the G-League, the overseas. You know what I mean? You get all of these opportunities. And minor league, you get all these. In football, you have a window of 3 to 4, based on if you're a fifth-year guy, 5 years. And if it don't work, there's really nowhere to go. You know, you can go to the Canadian League, but, you know, it's so hunger and the passion and the drive you see from college players, the question becomes, will that go away all of a sudden?
That's Martin Houston. We will continue here in just a couple of seconds. We're going to get back to a lot of different things and some of the conversation coming out of the Pac-12. We'll talk about it from an Alabama perspective. This is Alabama Tradition, the past, present, and future of the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Hot! It's awesome. You're having a fun! Have some fun, man!
Talking Alabama Crimson Tide football on Alabama Tradition with Martin Houston and Ryan Fowler in Tuscaloosa on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Well, we're coming to your city. Gonna play our guitars and sing you a country song. We'll all be flying higher than a jet airliner. And if you want a little bang in your yin-yang, come along.
I know this is the ESPN song, so I think about coming to your city when you think about the money that the SEC will go back to ESPN and demand with Texas and Oklahoma and the amount of eyes. Because, you know, there's a reason why I think Texas is the most overrated college football program, at least in our lifetime. Jim Harbaugh in Michigan would have something to say about that ranking. But you think about the eyes, and it's all about that bias towards that dollar bill. When you look at the state of Texas, and, hey, you get a big, rich alumni, you can market a lot of products. This TV deal is going to be huge. It's going to be big, and it will increase when you look at adding Texas and Oklahoma to it.
Absolutely, Ryan, and that's where the money is going to be absolutely crazy, the money that's tied to the addition of Texas and Oklahoma. And this is definitely one of those cases where the rich will get richer.
Oh, it will. It will. Martin, I go back out to the Pac-12 for just a minute. I heard their their commissioner of the Pac-12 making a statement, and he said, well, you know, my biggest concern right now is only 3% of college football players actually compete for a championship. And he kind of laid out all those different claims and these number crunches. And I'm sitting there driving down the road, and I plug in, I go back DVR, and I go, okay, I just want to make sure I heard you correctly, just to make sure. And dumb me, I wish I would have taped it, because I think it would have been something that would have been kind of cool. But it was laying out the claim of why these teams don't participate. I'm going, hey, you're not good enough. I mean, it's very simple. You're not good enough right now. So that's not an Alabama or Clemson or Ohio State fault. That's a problem, because talent in the West Coast is big. I mean, look at the states that are in that conference. They should be a lot better. But as I'm sitting here listening to him, it's like excuse, rather than pointing the finger at our own self and saying self-accountability.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you are
I think we may have lost. And let me put Martin back on hold there for just a second. We'll see if we can reconnect with him. But Martin was driving down to the beach, and we knew at some point that he was going to go without cell phone service. But going back to the Pac-12 and just listening to them kind of make this rebuttal, It's like, okay, when you look at coaches out there, think about it. Back up a little bit. Like, tell me a coach out there that you're afraid of.
Mario Cristobal in recruiting. His best days. In recruiting, yeah.
And really, that's it. When you think about the Pac-12. Clay Helton, no. Herm Edwards, no. I mean, I'm scared of
Antonio Pierce from Arizona State.
But you just go through the list, and it's like there's just a lot of just.
Well, that whole conference, and this is the way I've always put it, I think it's a good conference because of the competition level, the quality of the football. There's a reason we on this side of the country love Pac-12 After Dark. Those of us that are big football fans anyway, because the quality of the games are good, but that comes at a price because the second to worst team can beat the top team on any given Saturday and it doesn't feel out of place because the Pac-12 lacks in elite programs. That's their number one problem. They have good football. They have good football coaches. But they just don't have that elite program just yet. They can't get out of their own way on it.
Well, but you go through the list of coaches out there, like there's nobody that really, you know, we were talking about fearing, but I would be willing to say, now listen, dedicated college football fans, but if you walked up to a college football fan and you said, give me four coaches in the Pac-12, I think there's a lot of people.
Well, I don't think people could name four coaches in the Pac-12.
So that's a problem. And it may not be a problem. It's
I don't think they could do that in the ACC either. I don't think they could do that in the Big Ten either. Or the Big 12, since two of the teams are now in the SEC, for all intents and purposes.
But it just seems like to me, it is the Pac-12 has got a image problem of exposure, of getting out in front of those eyes. I didn't say that to embarrass those coaches. I'm sure there's some great coaches out of the Pac-12, but they just don't get that exposure. And maybe that's some of it because of, you know, what we watch and how we consume. But look at the Pac-12 network. Who has it?
Nobody. That's a fallacy from the previous administration that didn't understand how to put that in front of people. Limited access ain't it. But at the same time, it has a little bit to do with the postseason, but at the end of the day, it's because Oregon or USC or Washington, they've all three had opportunities to take the reins, but then they let a Washington State come around or an Oregon State come around or a Utah cling too closely, and it ends up blowing everything up and they can't garner any momentum, no pun intended, Minshew. But it's still, when it comes down to it, like with the ACC, you at least know what you're getting. With Clemson, yeah, it's an easy schedule. With the Big Ten, you know that it's Ohio State, but you know that they're going to have to work to get out of the conference. The Big 12, it's always going to come down to Texas, Oklahoma, or Iowa State now. And now that that's dissolving, that's a whole completely different conversation. But with the Pac-12, you absolutely cannot afford to bet money on who's going to win the Pac-12 championship because the winner of it is probably going to be 10-2.
And you go through these different names. Like Jimmy Lake, we know him as a defensive mind. As a defensive mind, when you look at, you know, being there at UW, but it's not a guy that's going to overwhelm you with exposure. Mark Cristobal, you've already named. I'm just going through the list. Jonathan Smith at Oregon State.
That just sounds bland.
I mean, it sounds as vanilla as you could possibly be. I'm sure Jonathan's a great guy. We know David Shaw. Justin Wilcox. He coaches at California. Like, he's a head coach. Rolachevic, is that the way you say it? Nick Rolachevic? He's at Washington State. He's been his second year going into there. We know David Shaw. There was Herm Edwards at Arizona State, because you know him from his NFL days. Good name. Kyle Whittingham. I didn't realize he had been there 17 years at Utah. Wow, that's okay. Okay.
Utah's a good little program.
They are. And Clay Helton, from his ties back to the SEC. That's Chip Kelly. We know him. Carl Durrell at Colorado. I heard him speak last year. I was blown away. This guy may take something somewhere. Just, I was on a Zoom call. The Sean Alexander, the Will Anderson, was the freshman of the year. Right after that, Carl Durrell spoke. And Coach Stallings was actually a part of that conference. I'm going,
hey, this guy, listen, I'm not saying Colorado's here to win a national title. I'm not here to do that. But if you look at just a guy that you could kind of circle, Jed Fish. You know Jed?
I mean, you don't hear that name one time and forget it. It's Jed Fish.
I'm sure Jed's a pretty good guy, but not a guy that's going to be on the front of ESPN or CBS Sports or anything else. We'll reconnect with Martin Houston coming up in a couple of seconds. Tide 100.9, the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Passing shower or thunderstorm is possible this afternoon in spots, otherwise mostly sunny, highs near 93. For tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds with an isolated shower or storm possible by afternoon, highs near 95. I'm meteorologist J.P. Spann on Tide 100.9.
It's 75 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The host of the game, Ryan Fowler, and the host of the Martin Houston Show, Martin Houston, have combined to offer a show filled with in-depth analysis of Alabama football and more. Alabama Tradition broadcasts live on Tide 100.9 every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. and is available live and on playback on numerous affiliates around the Southeast. Check out alabamatradition.com for a list of affiliates as well as other great content.
Twang Tuesday continues. We roll that right into Alabama tradition, the past, present, and future of the Alabama Crimson Tide. Hey, Martin, I know that we lost you there for just a couple of seconds, but you said you could hear everything. We were talking about the Pac-12 and the amount of exposure when you look at the eyes of college football on those guys. Not a lot of coaches that you recognize and demand exposure.
Yeah, it was kind of funny you said take the average fan that named four. I would have been hard-pressed to get the four. I think I knew Whittingham, Shaw, Cristobal, and Kelly. The other guys I may have to think about. They have several problems, Ryan, and, of course, exposure, time they play, but to me, you know, and I think Jacob did a good job of describing, it is fun to watch a Pac-12. I mean, game. Would you agree with that, Jacob?
100%. You don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. And so it's like it's fun to watch. So why are you not exposing people to that by trying to go head-to-head with some of these other, you know, programs and other things? Because I think people would watch it. That's number one. Number two is, Ryan, this new guy, I don't even know the new commissioner's name, but –
We'll just call him George. George for the last name's a little tricky, but George.
George has made two, like, national comments, and I was talking to Jacob about this off the air. Ryan, he's trying to lower the bar. When they went to the 12 teams, he said, well, guarantee us that the top Power 5, I mean, all Power 5s are going to get in. If the top six conference champions don't guarantee you that you're in, you don't deserve to be in if you're a Power 5 conference. If you're not, if there's two Group of 5 or none Power 5 conferences ranked higher than you, you don't deserve to be in the playoffs. That should not even concern. Make your programs better. I mean, when you get in, compete and win.
Well, and if you really want to be disappointed, let me start reading through coordinators out in the Pac-12.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you might be able to recognize one or two of those guys. That's it. It's just like – so, but think about in this league, Martin, that we are in right now, there is quality coordinators all over the SEC. And I think it's simply the demand that they pay – the coordinators to come here. I mean, why would you coach in the Pac-12? Pay me money. Give me money. You'll attract the best coaches.
And now, you know, your winning has attracted the best players, and name, image, and likeness is going to help continue to attract, to take the best players, the best coaches. And Ryan, would you not say that what's the name may be, you know, he's kind of cutting his teeth and potentially the best commissioner. You know, he's come along and he's made some moves in the way he managed COVID and now pulling in Texas and Oklahoma. Do we have the best commissioner as well? If you take all of those things together, we have the best fan base. You're going to be better than everybody else.
It's a you know, recipe for success. All right, so Martin, we got about 30 seconds. So what's your plan? You going to be down there all week? Are you coming back maybe over the weekend?
I'm going to tell everybody all my business since you have me on the radio. Okay. But I am going to enjoy myself.
Okay. Okay.
I've already been down a little bit. Drove back up last night to take care of some business. Spoke to a group of kids, and of course my district was having a vote today, so I voted and all of that, and we'll see how that election turns out, so it was a crazy, but I am going to enjoy a couple of days with my lovely wife of 31 years and hopefully many more to come. So well, I appreciate you asking.
Go get some great food. I know that's one of my favorite trips of going down there. I don't enjoy the beach as much, but I do love the food. That's Martin.
Well, you have to pass Lambert, you know what I mean? You know.
Or stop. Don't pass. Stop. Yeah. Yeah. Don't pass him. Stop.
All right, man. Have a good one, Ryan.
Thanks, Martin. We appreciate you. No doubt. Alabama tradition, the past, present, and future, the Alabama Crimson Tide. We'll do it again next time. I'll see you tomorrow, 2 o'clock, here on Tide 100.9. She had to ride the heat of passion. Pushing it along in the wind out where only dreams had been, burning both ends of the night. Rushing it along in the wind out where only dreams had been, burning both ends of the night.